Let's turn together this morning once again to Hebrews chapter 11. Our passage this morning is Hebrews 11, verse 3. But I'm going to read the first three verses just for context. This is God's holy, inspired, and infallible word. Give your attention to it. Now faith is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, people of old received witness. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. So far, the reading of God's Word. Let's pray and ask His blessing upon it and its preaching today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray for minds and hearts that are open this morning to receive Your Word. We pray, Lord God, that You would bless the reading and preaching of Your Word this morning to the increase of the faith of Your saints. And also, Lord God, open the eyes of those who may not believe, but may, by the preaching of that word, may faith be given, eyes be opened, ears opened, hearts opened, and a response given to Your word of amen. We do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. The basic bottom level sense of this passage is this. The visible world that our senses perceive did not come into being by means of itself. It did not bring itself into being. Rather, the things that are visible came into being by that which is not seen, namely, the Word of God. Theologians, students of the Bible throughout history have looked to Hebrews 11:3 as proof of the supernatural origin of creation. A doctrine that we as Christians, as Bible believers, assert and hold over against ancient pagan notions such as the eternity of matter, on the one hand, or today, its great-great-grandchild, materialistic evolution. Naturalistic, materialistic evolution. The first part of our passage, verse 3, especially supports that doctrine that we have come to call creation ex nihilo, or creation out of nothing. In other words, the visible things, the universe, that which our senses perceive, these things did not come into being of themselves, nor have they been eternally existent, but they came into being by the Word of God. Back in Genesis 1, verse 1, we were told that God created the heavens and the earth. Now, without belaboring this point for too long, I want to make this point, however, that Genesis 1:1, when it says that God created the heavens and the earth, is establishing not merely the creation of the visible things of this world, the earth and its inhabitants, but also those invisible things that we do not see. Heaven, the angelic host of heaven. God created all of those things, visible and invisible, the seen and the unseen things he created by his supernatural word of power. Now, that's the basic bottom level meaning of our passage. Created things did not come into existence of themselves, but were made by that which is not seen, even the Word of God. Having said that, there's more to this passage than just that. There's more to this passage than just a reaffirmation of creation out of nothing. There's something going on here that is of faith, deeper. All the way back in Genesis 1, there was something going on that if we paid close attention, we would have picked up on. And that was that the things that were made, the invisible things that were made, as well as the visible things, but the invisible things became the pattern, the archetype of the formation of the things which God made that were visible. I'll explain what I mean by that. Just by one way of example, think of this. Man was created, the visible was created in the image of the one who was not seen. God himself, the unseen one, became the pattern of that one below which was seen. We were told in Genesis 1 that Adam, mankind, is made in the image of God, that they bore the likeness of God. The visible bears the likeness of the invisible. The lower, the visible, the earthly, is patterned after the higher, the unseen. Now, think about how the author of Hebrews has been arguing and what he's been arguing throughout the course of this letter. Do you guys remember earlier when he told us that the tabernacle, the dwelling place, the tent, the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God in the Old Covenant, was patterned after something else? Something that God showed Moses when Moses was on the mountain. Remember? Moses went up the mountain and God said, he gave him a vision, a revelation. And he said, now go down and make a tabernacle according to what I showed you. The Old Testament tabernacle was patterned after something that was not seen but shown to Moses. And the visible became the pattern, the type on earth of something that was yet unseen. Something heavenly. So in chapter 8 of Hebrews, verse 5, we read of the Old Testament saints that they serve, or the priests, they serve a copy and a shadow of the heavenly things. For when Moses was about to erect the tent, he was instructed by God, saying, see that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain. And then over in chapter 9 of Hebrews, in verse 11, we read, but when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. And then, down in verses 23 and 24 of chapter 9, it says, "Thus it was necessary for the copies," that is the earthly things, "the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf." And think more about Hebrews and what it's been saying to us. We should rehearse again the fact that Christ, we are told, was and is the heavenly high priest from whom the earthly priests in Israel received their pattern. They were copies on earth of him. The visible is a copy, a type of that which is invisible, that which was not seen. This has been our writer's, the author's, mode of arguing throughout this letter. The earthly things were copies that bore witness to the unseen heavenly things that were yet to come. The visible, the earthly priests, the sacrifices, the tabernacle, the temple, all of these were made after the pattern, the likeness of the heavenly things, the things that were yet to come. This, he says, in our text, in our passage, this our fathers and mothers perceived, and this we, notice, he talks to us by faith, we perceive. We understand that the things that were formed, the things that were made, the earthly, the visible things that have been created, came into being by the word of God. They did not come into being of themselves. They were not formed by themselves, but came into being by means of that which is not seen. Formed by that which is not seen. We perceive by faith. We, the church of Jesus Christ, upon whom the ends of the ages have dawned, we are the beneficiaries of the better things that have dawned in Christ. We perceive these things, these better things. We have seen and bear witness to the unseen things, the heavenly things, the better mediator, the better high priest, the better sacrifice, the better tabernacle. We perceive these things by faith. What he's been arguing since the very first chapter of the author of Hebrews is that which previously had not been seen has now come in these last days. The Son has appeared. It was not seen before. And presently, now, is not seen again, for he has ascended. Yet, the unseen things were revealed in Christ. The better high priest came, the better sacrifice was offered, and has gone into the better tabernacle, there to present himself to God. The former age, the Old Testament age, was characterized by visible things. Types and shadows, however, those visible things, of the heavenly, the unseen things. Things that were yet to come. But now, in these last days, those former things, the visible, has given way to the unseen realities that were their pattern. The earthly gives way to the heavenly. Adam, the old Adam, gives way to the second and last Adam, in whose image he was created to begin with. I know this is somewhat difficult. But hang with me. And let's read our text, verse 3 again, in light of what we're saying, all of this. By faith, we understand that the universe, the visible and invisible, the present age, was formed by the word of God. God has spoken in these last days, and his Son, who is the very radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, his substance, by whom he created the ages. So that which has appeared, that which has been revealed in these last days in Christ, did not derive from what is seen, but what is not seen. Man exists because of God and for God, not the reverse. Now think back to what we read last week and came to talk about last week. Verse 1. Faith is the substance of the hoped for things. The age to come. The heavenly things. The evidence of that which is not seen. The heavenly things again. The nature and function of faith in the economy of God is to enable God's people to penetrate beyond the merely external and visible, so that they might perceive and partake of the unseen things, the hoped for things, the things that are above. Faith brings one into contact with the heavenly things, the hoped for things. Faith understands that the visible things are not original, nor are they primary, but they're derived from and secondary to the things which are not seen. By faith, we understand that the world, the ages, were created by the Word of God. Our faith penetrates past the visible to the Word of God. Faith lays hold of the Word of God that made these things. And we've come to realize and perceive that there is this world, this visible things, is not all that there is. Faith perceives beyond the visible to God. Faith perceives that there is something higher. There is that which is yet unseen and hoped for. And faith lays hold of that. Faith perceives that the visible things, in fact, did not come into being by themselves, but bear the very form and likeness of the invisible things. And faith perceives behind them and beyond the visible, to those invisible things, and lays hold of them. We actually, by faith, become partakers of the very substance of the heavenly things, the unseen things, the hoped for things. Faith is a heavenly gift that God gives his people so that they're not limited by sight, by their senses, their physical senses, but are able to perceive, lay hold on, and live out of the things which our physical eyes cannot see. Now, let's get very practical for a moment. Let's flesh this out. When you look at the world around you, when you look out at creation, do you think of it as your home? Or does faith perceive that God made all of this? God made all of this. So I reach beyond this to God. I seek, when I look out at these things, faith causes me to want to reach out and embrace Him. I'm not satisfied with just what I can see, but I want the one that I can't see, but I know made this. This is bearing witness to Him, my faith sees that. And my faith rests not in this then, but in Him. When you look at this world, do you think of it as your home? Or does faith cause you to look to the world above and beyond this visible reality, to that world, to that heavenly world, which is your true home? Remember, the lower things were patterned after the higher, not the reverse. When you look out at creation, and it's easy to do here in Southern California, and you say, wow, what wonder, what splendor, what a beautiful world God has created. Does your faith then go on and say, I can't wait to see the Maker. I can't wait to see what He has in store. This, as beautiful as it is like a shadow of what's coming. When you go out and look at that beautiful sunset, or look out across the ocean, or on the grandeur of a mountain range, do you say to yourself, I've arrived. I'm here. I'm home. Or does faith say, I cannot wait until I get to be with my Creator and Redeemer in heaven, in that place that He has gone ahead to prepare for me, the new heavens and the new earth, that this present beautiful visible world merely anticipates? You see what faith does? It reaches past. And lays hold of the substance of the hoped for things. The things unseen. Even God Himself. This is everything that the author, the pastor of Hebrews, has been exhorting and calling you to throughout this letter. You see, there were those in his day, and they're still in the church today, in the world today, there are those whose hope rests on what their eyes can see, on the visible things. They cling to the tangible, the things that they can presently lay hold of. But true faith, the faith defined in verse 1 of chapter 11, lays hold of the hoped for things of the age to come and receives the very substance of those things. True faith is itself the very evidence of the unseen things at work in the believer, so that their lives begin to bear witness to something else, a heavenly reality, a heavenly world, and a heavenly King and Savior and High Priest. That was what was going on in verse 2. The faith of the saints of the Old Testament looked at those earthly sacrifices, those earthly priests, and said, this is great. Because it shows me what's coming. My faith reaches past them to what is better and coming. And as such, their lives began to bear witness to the heavenly things that their faith laid hold of. That was what's going on. And the question for us is the same as the question for those who are wanting to shrink back and turn back to the visible things in the days of the writer when he wrote. Shall we stop short? Shall we say we have already arrived? Shall we be satisfied with the things that our eyes can see? Shall we remain at the level of the visible? Or, by faith, will we reach forward and upward and taste Christ, the better things of His kingdom? Another way of putting it is, are we of the world or just in the world? Are we citizens of this present age this present visible creation? Or are we citizens of heaven who are just passing through, making their way home? People of God, you are members of the new covenant. We perceive by faith that the age to come has already been revealed in Jesus Christ when he came into the world to offer himself a sacrifice for sin. And when he rose from the dead, we saw the life of the age to come. Presently, our Savior is unseen, but by faith, he is ours. His salvation is ours. His life is ours. Heaven is ours. And this was the same faith of our fathers and mothers in the Old Covenant. All they had back then were the types and shadows, but they were able by faith to perceive and understand that the unseen things, that the visible things that they were looking at did not come into being by themselves. There's something behind them. And that's what their faith laid hold on, the unseen things to come. They perceived then that they needed a better sacrifice than that lamb or that goat or that bull. They needed a better priest. And they knew that this world, this visible world, was not their home. They were looking for something above. And their faith laid hold of it and bore witness to it. How great a cloud of witnesses we're going to see was given for our faith in the Old Testament. So let us then, by faith, perceive that this world, the visible things that we sense and see with our eyes, that this age in which we live, this is not our ultimate end and goal. Let us reach forward and upward by faith and lay hold of the unseen things, for they are far better. This world is good, but heaven is better. The things that are seen are good, but the unseen things are better. God is better. The Christian, by faith, will confess nothing less, and his worship and his life and his walk in this world will bear witness to nothing else. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we do perceive by faith that the visible things did not come into being of themselves. They bear witness to you, your word of power. We understand, Lord, by faith, and we look out upon this world, not merely that an intelligent designer did this, but that our God, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, made all of this. So by faith we lay hold of you. We lay hold of you when we look out at the world, general revelation. And more than that, we've been given special revelation. You have revealed yourself to us in your Son. We have beheld the heavenly things in Christ. We have been given the heavenly unseen things in Christ. Our faith receives them. Father, we praise and thank you for this. And we pray, like our Father, Church, Ancient Church Father Augustine, we pray, Lord God, that our hearts would not rest until they find their rest in you, in your kingdom, in your Son, the new creation that you have prepared for us and will reveal when the Son of God comes again. Then we'll be home. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's respond to the Word of God as it was read and preached, confessing the Nicene Creed once again, page 846. And again, listen to the beginning. Pay special attention to the beginning of this confession. Let's stand together and confess our faith. Church of Jesus Christ, what do you believe?
We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.